Hello, Dennis. This is Mike Dayton speaking. I'm sorry I've taken so long in making this recording. I've carried the recorder around for 3 weeks now and just haven't sat down to do this. Very sorry about that. I know very well who you are, but I don't think I've ever met you, so I'm kind of just going to wing this. A lot of these questions don't apply to me, so I'm going to throw in a lot of stuff on the side, and you can pick from whatever you want here. Your first question here, what hobbies do you participate in besides bodybuilding? I think I play every sport there is. I enjoy being athletic, and I'm very coordinated. I ski, snow ski, water ski. I take part in gymnastics. I've wrestled. I was a state champion in high school. I enjoy football, baseball, basketball. I think you name it, and I play it. I enjoy sports of all kinds. How did you become interested in bodybuilding? Well, I think the truth is when I was 12 years old, I lived in Oakland, which was a rough town, and I was coming home from a Boy Scout meeting. I was jumped, and I had my front teeth knocked out. At 120 pounds, at 12 years old, and probably about the same height that I am now, 5'10 and a half, 5'11. I think in the back of my mind, I became interested in building up my body and increasing my strength because of that, although I didn't know that at the time. I went on to, with some early success in bodybuilding, to win Teenage Mr. America AAU in 1967 when I was 18 years old. I followed two really great physique champions in the Teenage Mr. America. The year before me was Dennis Tinarino. Or no, Boyer Coe was the year before me, and the year before that was Dennis Tinarino. So at 18 years old, I kind of started right off at the top there. I got on the cover of, I think it was Strength and Health that first featured me on their cover. I wasn't really as big as the other Teenage Mr. America, so it took me a couple of years of training after 18, say till when I was 20, to really get into open physique competition where I can compete with the other people. How long have you been training? Well, I've been training since I was 13, 14 years old. I'm 30 years old now, and I've probably been the most fanatical trainer of all. I did do 5-hour workouts at times, 3 workouts a day. For a 2-3 year period, I don't think I missed one day working out, 7 days a week, mostly 2 workouts a day, and that includes Christmas and all holidays. When I was young, I was competing in my first competition that I competed in was the Teenage Mr. California contest, and my very first year I was last place, and I think this was in 1966. And so, it was only 7 competitors in there, and I was 7th. I was about 150 pounds then, and I'd only worked out a couple of years. It was my first contest I was ever in. I'd seen a couple of them before, though. I was training under Jack Dillinger at that time. And a year later, after hard training for that whole year, I went back into the contest, Teenage Mr. California in 67, took first place, also won Best Built Teenager in California, a separate contest in that year. And I went on to... In 1967, I went on to the Teenage Mr. America. I was still training under Jack Dillinger, who I owe a lot to for guidance and inspiration when I was young. Okay, next question. Was there a period during which you made very fast gains? If so, what do you attribute these gains to? Well, I attribute all my gains to just hard work and dedication. I think that's the key. I don't think any one routine is going to make any difference. I think it's the amount of effort, the amount of... the amount just of energy that you put into each workout. The one thing about weightlifting I've always enjoyed is it's an individual sport, and the harder you work at it, the harder you work as an individual, the more you're going to get out of it. And that was impressed upon me by Jack Dillinger when I was very young, that the more I put into it, the more I would get out of it. So I think I started out working super hard. I had worked to exhaustion on everything I did. I had a theory that you can't work too hard, and I think I still believe in that. I don't really know too much about overtraining. I think if you get enough sleep, I don't think you can overtrain a muscle. The more you tear it down, just the more it's going to grow back. Okay, have you ever performed an exercise which caused you an injury? Yes, I have. I've trained, and so I've hurt my elbow somewhat, not serious injuries. I have bad wrists now from breaking handcuffs, which interferes some of my training right now. I can't do some exercises I'd like to do. I found that you have to be cautious of your knees and elbows in training. I've always done full squats, and I've always done them right down to the floor. I've never had a knee injury. so my knees are fine. I have hurt my shoulders and elbow with training, but not serious. And I've always found that in 3 months of just laying off the exercises that bother you, the injuries have gone away. Okay, another question. Do you frequently burn out or go stale on certain exercises? Yes, I do. Everybody does. You can't do an exercise for any great length of time without becoming used to it, without it becoming repetitious, and without your body saying you've had enough of this, and you don't make the gains that you made at first after a while. This is why you constantly, as a bodybuilder, have to change your exercises in your routine. You constantly have to be switching, putting new exercises in, and changing things in your routine, because your body will adapt to anything that you do to it. If you're training, say, for example, bench presses and flies, well, after 3 months of this, or 2 months, depending on the individual, your body's going to become used to it, and you won't get the pump that you got at first out of your benches and flies. So you change it to something else. You go to, decline work, incline work, cable work. You change it to dumbbell presses on the bench instead of bench presses. You change your flies to cables. You have to attack the muscle from a different angle, because I think the muscle builds up a resistance to whatever you're doing to it. Okay, turning the page here. As a competitive bodybuilder, do you feel it necessary to achieve a proper skin? Hot or cold showers keep the skin moist, applying baby oil or suntan. One thing I'll throw in here about stretch marks, and I have a lot of stretch marks because I started off very skinny, and I got them when I was young. I think before I was 20, I had stretch marks on the back of my arms, like the front of my arms over the shoulders, chest, and the back between the shoulders and the lats. I've got them down on my biceps. I got a couple on my forearms. I even got one on my calf. So I think it's important to protect against those stretch marks, and that's using some kind of oil on your skin. You need it 2-3 times a day if you're prone to stretch marks and you start to get them. To prevent you from getting more, you should oil yourself 2-3 times a day. As a competitive bodybuilder, do you feel necessary to achieve proper skin tone? Yes, it is very important to have good skin tone as a bodybuilder. I think the most important thing is to have the thin skin, which comes from the dieting. But as far as the skin tone, I don't know if that has very much to do with the weightlifting. I think your diet controls that somewhat. A lot of sun seems to clear the skin up for most people. Also, the proper vitamins and the proper amounts, vitamin A, vitamin D, they seem to help the skin. I've never been too big on using a lot of soap on my body. I've taken 2-3 showers a day, it seems like, because I train a couple times a day. So rather than use soap, I just rinse myself off, and I have such calloused hands that I rub myself like I was washing myself off with a bar of soap, and the calluses on my hands seem to scrape my skin clean. So I'm not too big on using soap. Okay, another question. What type of exercise principles seem to work best for you? Strict movements, cheating, supersets, giant sets, PHA, etc.? Well, I've used all of them, and I think that the best thing is to continually change your routine. Strict movements are fine, but they're not actually better than cheating movements, because you can get tremendous muscle development with partial movements. For example, Sergio Oliveira did all his workout with partial movements. He never locked out on a bench press. He never locked out on triceps, biceps. Everything he did was just partial movements for a pump. Supersets are great, but then again, you'll get sit stale on any exercise you use supersets on. Giant sets, same thing. So I think, again, the most important thing here is to change your routine from strict movements to cheating movements. I did a lot of cheating calf raises where I never really went all the way up or down, but I would burn out, for example, 500 reps and maybe 10 sets of 500 reps. That's 5,000. And I would do 1,000 free reps just to pump up before my calf routine. I had small calves, and I wanted to enlarge them. So people told me that the only way you'll get big calves is with a strict movement. Well, I never actually did very much strict movements. I got better results with the cheating movements. So I think it's up to the individual and his actual muscle structure, which determines if strict movements or cheating movements are going to be more to your advantage. Another question, are there any junk foods which tend to smooth you over a period of a week or so? Well, yes, all junk food tends to smooth you over. It's not so much junk food. Any food with high carbohydrate, high calorie is going to tend to put a layer of fat over your body. How important is rest and sleep to a competitive bodybuilding? Well, we all know how important rest and sleep is. You have to stay healthy to develop and grow large muscles. And to stay healthy, you have to get regular sleep every night. You don't need to sleep a certain amount. You can't say that 8 hours is better for somebody, or 6 hours is better, or 10 hours. I think as long as you get as much sleep as your body requires, oversleeping, I think, is the most detrimental thing that you can do. If you're sleeping 10, 11 hours a day, I think that's hurting you because you're sluggish all day long. So rather, I don't think sleeping, you have to get regular sleep. You should go to sleep at the same time each night. But I don't think sleep has a tremendous amount to do with it other than keeping yourself healthy. And you've got to be healthy to develop your body. Okay, another question. Many bodybuilders feel that heavy training cannot carry out. They cannot carry out while holding a job or being married. Do you agree? Okay, let me see. Well, yes, when I was a competitive bodybuilder at times, I was such a fanatic that I didn't think I'd let anything get in my way. I was a bodybuilder first, a student second. I was probably a bodybuilder first and a husband second, too. I was married at one time, and it didn't interfere at all with my training because I wouldn't let anything interfere with my training. I wanted to be Mr. America, and that was my number one goal in life, and I wasn't going to let anything else I did in life interfere with that. And it takes that kind of dedication to reach any goal. I don't think that I did hold a job for 5 years doing hard physical labor. I moved furniture, and I did that and continued to train. I think that's probably why I got stronger than most bodybuilders, was because I was just doing more physical labor. I'd work 10 hours a day, 5 days a week, and still go to the gym for 3.5-hour workouts and still spend 2 hours a night working on kung fu exercises and kung fu katas. Let's see, another question here. Do you take much liquid during your workouts, water, juices, or milk? Well, for years I trained with a quart of milk, and I never drank the quart of milk more than a sip at a time. And when you have a 2-3 hour workout, you need something to sip on. So I used to drink a quart of milk with each workout. Now, I did this during the period when I was trying to gain. I wouldn't recommend drinking the milk for somebody that was cutting up for a contest. Another question, have you ever gotten ill to the point that you had to terminate training? Well, I've been ill very few times in my life. So I did do this several times, though. When training for a contest, a Mr. America competition, I would diet myself down where I was starving the fat off and feeding the muscle, and I would get very weak from it. I would take away all my natural body defenses against colds and flu. I'm very susceptible to colds. 1 year, I think in 74, preparing for the Mr. America, I developed some kind of cold sore on my lip, which was just 2 days before the contest. My whole lip swelled up, and I couldn't go to the Mr. A that year. I think that was because I was dieted down to such a state where I was trying to get super cuts that I let myself become sick and unhealthy from doing that. Another question, do you have any tips for bodybuilders entering their first physique contest? Oh, let's see, your first physique contest, I think you should work more on posing than anything else. I spend a lot of time, an hour a day, doing posing, and the posing exercises, I think, are very important. I've developed something I call over-posing, where I would take my posing routine, hit each individual pose, and practice flexing everything from my legs to my arms, chest, back, every muscle that was visibly displayed there. I would practice over-tensing it for a period of 7 seconds. And I would do this on every single pose, trying to bring out more definition and more cuts on that pose. But I think for a beginner bodybuilder entering his first contest, I think the best advice you could give him would be to work more on his posing routine than on the weightlifting in the gym or anything else, because building muscles takes such a length of time that within 1 week or 2 weeks, you're not actually going to add very much size. You can add some definition in a two-week period, but very little size can actually be developed in 2 weeks. So the thing to work on is to display, to actually practice more into display. I think that would be to a beginner's advantage. Another question. Like most all beginners new to bodybuilding, you probably received as much inspiration and instruction from some of the muscle magazines. At your advanced level of training, do you still find such quality from these magazines? Oh, yes, I look at the muscle magazines every month, of course, and have for my entire bodybuilding career. And I probably always will. I used to get inspiration from them. I used to, of course, learn from them. I used to be inspired from them. I was a big fan of Larry Scott's in the old Larry Scott Harold Poole days. But not now. I think you have to inspire yourself or get yourself motivated. I think that's more mental than physical. I don't use the magazines for that, where I could see where a beginner would, though. Okay, another question. What are your favorite Muscle Mag publications? Well, I read all of them. I like Iron Man a lot because I think Iron Man prints a non-biased opinion, where Weider's magazine, of course, is promoting Joe Weider. I like Dan Lurie's magazine, but then again, it promotes too much Dan Lurie for my taste. But I read all the Muscle magazines, and I think they all have their good points, and they all have probably their bad points. Do you think drugs, steroids, etc., are necessary for successful bodybuilding? Why not? Okay, well, this is an important question to me. I just got back from the steroid contest with Chet Yorton's second annual Natural Mr. America, and I'm a big promoter of that for Chet because I believe in that. I never took steroids up until, I think I first took steroids when I moved in with Arnold Schwarzenegger in the summer of 1969. And I took them for about a year and a half. I made some gains on steroids. My opinions on steroids is that they're a medicine, and a healthy person doesn't need to take a medicine. Steroids were invented for people that are geriatric, old people that can't replace their tissue fast enough, people that have been burned in fires, and they're going to die because they can't replace enough tissue on their body. They've been burned too much. People that have had their legs cut off or something, drastic surgery. Well, these people need the steroids. They needed to regrow the tissue to keep themselves alive. So I don't think a healthy person should take a medicine, especially the steroids. I don't think they need them, first of all. I don't think it has very little to do with developing the body. If everyone took steroids, it's still the guy that trains the hardest is going to have the best physique. That's why I believe that if we cut steroids out of the bodybuilding world, you'd still get the same people would still win the contest. They'd be about 6 pounds lighter is all. And then it'd all be even if we were all 6 pounds lighter. No one would have to take steroids. I can't stress enough that I don't think the steroids really have their place in the bodybuilding world because they take away the health of the bodybuilder. What happened to me on steroids, I took them for about a year and a half, and I took large doses of them because that's what Arnold had said was a proper dose to take. I ended up getting nosebleeds, dizziness when I was working out in the gym, and I would throw up every time I ate anything that had grease in it. Well, I didn't know what was wrong with me. I went to a doctor, and we found all these things were off, and I thought, Jesus, I'm healthy. I train every day. I can't understand what's wrong with me here. Finally, it came out that I was taking steroids, and as soon as I got off of them, everything cleared up. I never really lost any strength or any size when I got off of them. I haven't been on them since 1971. I just don't think they have a place in bodybuilding because I think they're anti-health. I think they're going to hurt somebody's health. I'm glad that Chet Yorton has started something where people can train now and not have to take steroids. I think his contest is going to be the contest of the future because people beginning bodybuilding, people just getting into the sport, they don't want to have to take steroids, and they don't want to have to compete with people taking steroids. So Chet Yorton's contest is new and refreshing and keeps the steroids out of bodybuilding. It kind of puts the health back in bodybuilding, and I think that's really the most important thing, that bodybuilders should be healthy. If it's not healthy to develop the body, then why even go out and do it? Okay, let me find another question here. Okay, how does a man such as yourself maintain a positive family relationship when engaged in heavy training for a top contest? Well, as I mentioned before, it's kind of hard to do. You can, of course, keep a positive family relationship going, but you have to put so much into the bodybuilding that it does take away. It takes hours and hours out of your day. It takes It should occupy most of your waking thoughts, the fact that you're a competitive bodybuilder trying to get bigger, that you have a big contest coming up you're preparing for. It does take away from anything, because you have to put that amount of time and energy into it to be number one. I think a lot of people, a lot of the top bodybuilders are married, and it doesn't affect them to that much. I think it takes an understanding wife, I think, would be the key. If you had an understanding wife that was on your side, wanted you to do well, well, then I think it'd work out. Otherwise, it is awful hard to be a top competitive bodybuilder. You can be a bodybuilder without having it take away anything if you're not a top competitive bodybuilder. Okay, what are your plans for the future in bodybuilding? Well, I don't really have any plans other than I'm presently trying to get back into bodybuilding shape. I don't plan to enter any more physique contest. I'm doing too well at the feats of strength. I've been performing those all around the country. I've done 30 shows. That's 30 weekends I've been away from home here on the road. I do everything from college lectures, university lectures, to rock concerts, to karate championships, to physique championships. I've performed at the professional basketball games. I've been in front of I don't know how many crowds, how many audiences here. I enjoy doing the feats of strength more than entering the physique competition. I never had the ideal structure to be a physique champion. I never had the broad shoulders, the narrow hips. I developed a good enough body to win a title, and I was happy with that. I'd hate to set a goal for myself of winning Mr. Universe and having to spend and dedicate that 5 years just for that one subject when I could get so much more done in that amount of time. Okay, how would you characterize the real secrets of bodybuilding success? Well, I think I can do that in one word. It's mental. Mentally, everything is done. The more you put into it mentally, the more drive that you can give yourself and go into that gym with, the harder you're going to train. I think that's what separates the winners, is the person that goes in there and does it mentally and physically. He goes in there with his whole mind, his soul, everything he puts into it. I think this is what separates the winners from the people that don't win. What do you feel the future holds for bodybuilding competitively? Well, then again, it goes back to Chet Yorton's non-steroid shows. I don't know how big bodybuilding will ever get. I think it's probably peaked for a while right now with Arnold Schwarzenegger and the movie Pumping Iron. Arnold's done a tremendous job for bodybuilding, promoting it, putting it out on the public's level. I think it's much more accepted now than it's ever been before. But I think we're at a peak now. I don't think it's going to rapidly grow bigger from this point. I think Arnold has put it right out there, and it's been accepted somewhat publicly. And I think that's about it. I don't think it's going to get a lot bigger. I saw bodybuilding go from, say, 10 years ago, 15, 12 years ago, where your average contest was in the YMCA and your posing light was hung over the basketball hoop and you had 50 to 70 people in the audience. Well, I've seen it 10 years later climb up where you have 2,000-3,000 people in the audience and you have beautiful stage shows, Las Vegas type shows, acts in between the bodybuilding contest. So I think it's kind of peaked out now. I hope it gets bigger. I'm doing everything I can to promote it publicly. But I don't know, there's always a feeling that I find that people think of the bodybuilders as freaks. And until they get that idea out of their mind that they're just freak people with these huge muscles, and most of the general public still has that, ooh, his muscles are too big type of response when he sees a bodybuilder. But I hope that changes. Okay, have any certain individuals had a particular influence on your bodybuilding career? Yes, they have. As I mentioned before, I started with Jack Dillinger, who a good friend of mine. I was 14 years old when I walked into Dillinger's studio. I weighed 130 pounds. I'd been training already at the YMCA for 6 months and 6 months at home. And Jack Dillinger knew how to inspire somebody in his own way, without giving me a tremendous amount of advice or anything like this. He just instilled in my mind that I had great potential in bodybuilding. His first words that he said to me when he saw me in the gym was, "You've got great potential." And that always was just enough to keep me going. That was enough to make me work harder. Dillinger was a tremendous influence on me. The fact that he, for a couple of years, supplied me with protein free of charge. He had his own protein company. It was called Bulk Up. It's one of the best products on the market. Every week he'd give me a can of this, no charge. I didn't have any money at this time. So I owed Jack Dillinger much of my success. His advice on his, on training, the people that were in his gym were very good on advising me. He's done a tremendous amount for me. I think I'm very fortunate to have a person like Jack Dillinger, who had a gym just two blocks away from my high school, so that I could find somebody of that quality to start off with, right away start off with somebody that knew what he was doing. I didn't need to waste years training without any proper instruction. Okay, let's go to another question here. Okay, when you're not in serious training for major physique contest, related to the following. Off-season, during this period of time, do you train heavy or light? Well, I've taken very little time off of weightlifting, and I enjoy training heavy. If I'm out of shape and can't train heavy, I've got to train light until I get back in shape and can train heavy. How many exercises will you normally perform for each body part during this off-season? Maybe one exercise if I'm not training hard for each body part. Do you ever plan to accent the off-season training with powerlifting? I've always done powerlifting. I've done Olympic lifting. Powerlifting is probably, I'd enjoy powerlifting more than the Olympic lifting. But then again, I've never really tried to excel in powerlifting or in Olympic lifting. I've done, I've done 470 in a bench press, a 490 in a cheat bench press. I've squatted over 600 pounds. I used to do repetition squats with 300, got up to 50 reps with 300 pounds. The Olympic lifts, I enjoy doing those. I've pressed over 300 pounds. I clean and jerk 355. I enjoy putting on the three Olympic plates on each side of the bar and snatching it up and throwing it overhead. I can do this even when I'm out of shape. And a lot of times walk in the gym just to do this to show off, I think. Another question here. How long does each workout period last? Well, that does depend on the individual's energy level. My workouts have always been long workouts, long and hard workouts, and if I had the time, I worked out twice a day. But I think that depends on the individual, how much he wants to put into it and what he wants to get out of it. I think you could go in a gym 1 hour, three times a week and make a decent gains. But if you're going to put your all into it, you've got to go in there and spend the time in the gym. Do you have difficulty gaining or losing weight? I had a lot of difficulty gaining weight. I'm a very hard gainer. I used to try to gain a pound a week. If I didn't gain that pound by Friday, I wouldn't go out that weekend. I would just stay home and eat. There was times when we had a friend that worked at the local movie theater. We used to go out and get two bags of groceries and go into the theater and eat as much as we could within the 2 hours that the movie was running. We'd eat tremendous amounts. We'd bring a quart of milk, a quart of half and half, cottage cheese, yogurt, cheese, sandwich meats, just as much as we can bring in there, nuts, fruits. We would just eat until we were ready to throw up. Many times I ate until I threw up and then tried to eat down a little bit more. I was such a hard gainer, I could never get fat. I couldn't put a pound on. I had to fight all the way to get every pound I ever got. Now that my metabolism has changed, I'm a little older, I have to watch my weight a little bit, and it's harder for me to get cut up. So it's kind of turned around a little bit for me. Please give me your thoughts on bulking up. Is it necessary? Well, I don't think that it's really necessary to bulk up to a tremendous amount. You want to build the muscles. That's what you want to do. And I don't think bulking up, there's a place for bulking up. And let me clear this up. You don't need to get that bulky to build the muscles. You want to build muscle and fat at the same time. And you can build faster when you're bulking up than when you're trying to stay cut. So I don't think you need to get over 10 pounds out of contest, maybe 15 pounds over contest weight. That's the most you ever need to get. That's as bulky as you need to get. But it is better to bulk up and then cut back down, because when you're bulking up, you're gaining faster. I think it's better to build the muscles when you're bulking up. Okay. Should the accent of bulk training should be an overall body? Well, yes, it should. You should bulk up the overall body at the same time. You can't try to keep your legs cut up while bulking up the upper body, because bulking is a matter of eating the calories, carbohydrates, and gaining that mass all at one time. What you're doing is putting on about 50% muscle, 50% fat when you're bulking up. If you go to the extent where you're just putting on 75% fat and 25% muscle, well, you're not really doing any good. But then again, muscle just takes time to develop.